Okay, if I could please call to order the June 12th meeting of the Governance Committee. The first item is approve the agenda. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at it. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay. You also have the minutes from April 24th. Any suggested corrections? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approval of minutes say aye.
Aye.
Right? Opposed? Okay. Next, first action item is a redefinition of board roles and joint development. And we've been having some ongoing discussions about the need to tighten up basically the joint development process so as to, in some ways, give a little more guidance to the staff and also basically take the board out to some extent. But, Madam General Counsel, you want to give us sort of a status report and then lead us into the action item that we have before us today?
Sure. Thank you very much. So as the chairman indicated, over the last several months, there have been several joint development, some joint development opportunities that have been presented to the Real Estate and, Joint Development Committee, and it became clear that it would be appropriate to review the policy pursuant to which those matters were coming forward, and also undertake a review of what other transit properties were doing to get some general sense of board staff scope clarifications and see if we could streamline the process and come up with some recommendations of changes that might help keep that process moving forward in a way that kept everybody focused on the transit-oriented development purposes of WMATA's interest in these opportunities. During the so that was effort was tasked to the governance committee with the concept that it would then come back to the joint development committee if there were subsequent changes that were required to the program itself. But as a governance matter, this committee was asked to look at that from a governance perspective. And so we did undertake a review of other transit properties to understand how other transit properties managed the process. And I'm going to turn it over here to Stan to speak to that. But generally speaking, what we concluded was that our policy was really quite adequate. It seemed to very appropriately address transit-oriented focus of the effort, and it was pretty much in keeping and in line not only with FTA guidance but with the pattern and practice of other transit properties. We concluded, however, that there were a few areas where we could improve our process, and that primarily what it boiled down to was to just follow the policy that we already had. And so what we have done is tried to take a hard look at how we could better describe what should be brought to the board, and to make sure that the board was clear on what was appropriate to come forward and staff was clear on what to be bringing forward to the board, so that we were allowing the policy to really function in the way it had been adopted and in the way that was intended. And I think that's what we came to understand as we dug a little deeper into it. It wasn't that there was really a need to change the underlying policy, we just needed to follow the policy that we had. So with that, I'll turn it over to Stan, who will walk you through that in more detail and suggest how we move forward.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Chairman Dyke, and members of the Governance Committee. First, the goal of this presentation is to establish context for the board on roles and responsibilities in the joint development process and to propose language to clarify these roles going forward. The title of the package says redefine. We're not looking to redefine. We're looking to clarify the roles of the board in this process. In the past year, the board has adopted revised joint development policies and guidelines. And on the heels of those new policies, staff has been focused on re-energizing our joint development program by offering several new sites for bid last fall and earlier this spring. I'm very pleased to report that we've made our first developer selection coming out of that joint development solicitation, and we anticipate similar announcements of developer selections going forward in the coming weeks. As a result of this increased activity, there will also be an increased number of approval actions that will come before the Real Estate Committee and the Board this fall relating to these new projects. So it's very timely that the Governance Committee is looking at clarifying these roles today and seeking to gain additional guidance on that process. The WMATA Joint Development Framework consists of 10 major phases of activity in which there are shared roles and responsibilities for program implementation. The FTA establishes rulemaking for how transit agencies use rural property, and later in the process, they also have an approval role in approving all of our joint development transactions. The WMATA Board and WMATA staff are engaged throughout the entire process, from establishing policy through project completion. Local jurisdictions are also engaged in both establishing land use regulations and also administering and enforcing those regulations through approval of project entitlements. And finally, our developers who selected for such projects are charged with designing, financing, and implementing these projects. The goal of presenting this framework and the details on the following slides is to provide context on the roles of all of these stakeholders and the requirements and policies that shape and guide implementation of our joint development program. FTA requirements. FTA's master agreement, terms and conditions with WMATA, along with other FTA policy statements, guidance, circulars, and real property disposition requirements, are incorporated into WMATA's grant agreements with FTA, and these terms and conditions govern nearly everything that we do as an agency. WMATA's joint development sites were purchased with FTA funds during the construction of the system, and thus were subject to FTA guidance on joint development real property requirements, as generally expressed in the FTA circular on joint development. In accordance with these policies, FTA's approval of WMATA's joint development program and projects is required. FTA retains the ability to withhold future grant funds and offset any payment requirements arising in connection with WMATA's real property dispositions that do not meet FTA development and real property requirements. The next set of policies that guide WMATA's joint development program implementation are our own board and staff policies. These include the WMATA Compact, the Board's Code of Ethics, our joint development policies and guidelines, our station site access planning manual, and our adjacent construction project manual, among other staff policies. The first three of these policy documents provide guidance on the conduct and roles of the board and staff in implementing the joint development program. The last two policies are much more detailed and technical in nature, but they ensure that what we build and how we build it protects and enhances our access to transit and protects and enhances our transit facilities. At a much more detailed level, within our joint development policies and guidelines are a set of 10 joint development objectives. These objectives are qualitative in nature, and depending on the nature of the project and the site, they may or may not be able to be met by every single project. However, by evaluating each proposed new project against these criteria, it ensures that the board and staff and our developers are aligned toward the same goals in the joint development program. The local jurisdiction's role primarily rests in setting land use priorities and then reviewing, approving, and enforcing adherence to these policies and priorities. Establishment of land use priorities is established through comprehensive plans, small area plans or sector plans, and zoning. Adherence and enforcement is done through the granting of project entitlements, which on the simplest project might just be a building permit, but on a larger project it might be a variance, zoning relief that's administered through processes such as development reviews, plan unit development, special exceptions, zoning variances, or map or text amendments. All of these processes at the local jurisdiction level involve significant community engagement as part of the review and approval process. In looking at local jurisdiction roles versus WMATA roles, WMATA staff are very much focused on FTA compliance, ridership, revenue, achieving fair market value, and protecting and enhancing our transit facilities, as well as all the other joint development objectives. The local jurisdiction requirements and processes are geared around zoning entitlements, the look and feel of projects, social objectives such as affordable housing, and other community amenities. Together, we share an interest in the uses and density associated with our proposed projects, maintaining and enhancing access to transit, and dealing with parking, both transit parking and development parking. I must stress that WMATA also cares greatly about all the elements within the jurisdiction realm, but this graphic is to show the priority between staff and the jurisdictions among those different roles. The next slide, to read this will take me 20 minutes, so I'll just highlight the fact that across all of our regional jurisdictions, there's a significant number of agencies that are involved in the development review process. These entities cover all aspects of projects, including design, historic preservation, affordable housing, transportation impacts, and much more. Knowing that there are these significant layers of local jurisdiction, stakeholder review, and approval allows WMATA staff to focus on FTA policy compliance and on achieving our joint development objectives as presented earlier. Finally, our developers are required to comply with all local jurisdiction regulations as established and enforced by the entities on the preceding slide. They are also required to comply with our joint development policies and guidelines, solicitation requirements, and the terms and conditions associated with all of their projects. And no matter how great of a deal that we think that we might have negotiated with our developers, nothing will happen until the local jurisdictions have offered and granted the entitlements for a project to move forward. So the very last step is the local jurisdiction approving a particular project. Going back to our joint development framework, this slide lists the various activities, stages in the joint development program, and those stages where the board currently has approval responsibilities. We are not recommending any changes to the points in which the board has an approval role. Instead, we're recommending the addition of evaluation criteria to better clarify what the board does at each of these steps and the roles and responsibilities for each of these activities. The benefits of establishing criteria. First, we hope to enhance the effectiveness of the joint development program by increasing transparency in the board's decision-making process. And second, by providing greater certainty to all stakeholders, WMATA board, staff, local jurisdictions, and the community and other stakeholders in the process. To achieve these benefits, for the five activities relating to where a board has approval responsibility, we're proposing the following criteria. In review and approval of new policies and guidelines, the board should evaluate such policies' compliance with FTA policies and rulemaking, and evaluate such policies against how well those new policies enhance the effectiveness of our joint development program. In review and approval of offering new sites for development, the board should ensure that staff has completed stationary planning, or that such activities will be complete before solicitation, and to ensure that staff have consulted with local jurisdictions regarding the proposed sites. Board review and approval of term sheets should assess whether, taken as a whole, the project that serves WMATA's joint development objectives, realizing that those objectives, again, are qualitative in nature, and depending on the nature of the site and project, may not be able to be achieved on every single project. At the joint development agreement approval stage, the board should evaluate whether or not the joint development agreement conforms to that approved term sheet, and if not, whether or not those proposed variances are acceptable. And finally, in reviewing and approving subsequent modifications to a joint development agreement, the board should evaluate whether or not such changes are in the best interest of WMATA and whether such changes have received FTA concurrence if necessary. To enable the board to efficiently and effectively conduct its review and approvals, at each stage of this process, it's incumbent upon staff to make sure that we present to the board all future actions in a manner that clearly describes how the proposed project addresses these evaluation criteria. It is staff's recommendation, then, that the board adopt the resolution that adds these evaluation criteria to the joint development process to clarify board roles and responsibilities. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Okay. Yes, Mort.
I'm not sure I, again, understood. You're saying there are criteria. There are issues that are WMATA's issues. There are issues that are local issues. And in terms of transparency to developers, we're saying to them, look, the issues that are ours are the ones we'll negotiate with you. The issues that are not, we're really deferring to the local jurisdiction.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes.
I'm assuming that we're still going to be vetted, board members would be vetted on development projects So if we had to...
Recuse.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. No, you're good.
That's very important, I think.
No, it's very important. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Is there going to be a point at which we're going to see the language that will incorporate these?
The general manager, I think the I'm sorry, go ahead. There is language.
There's a resolution that incorporates the language.
Right. Right, but that's not, that's a chart, attachment A, right? It's not language. I mean, you're talking about adding these to ethics rules, right? But there's not language for that.
No, we're not adding this to ethics rules. It's a joint development policy. The only way the code of ethics gets into it is to the extent it's incorporated in the process as we go forward.
Okay, I thought that that was your original proposal, was to put it, was to put language somewhere in there under what board, the board's appropriate.
Well, I think at the beginning, and you may not have been in a room when
I may, the I may not have been in that meeting.
She
yes.
mentioned that they took a look at what other people were doing and what other agencies were doing, and that it was felt that really our policies were fairly straightforward,
okay.
just that we weren't in basically following them, and that we really needed to add some criteria in there to show exactly what the board ought to be doing at when these various stages are reached. But you may want to respond to that, or does that cover it?
Right. No, I think that's accurate. So we're suggesting that the board evaluation criteria be much more clear, and so this resolution attempts to clarify specifically what the criteria against which criteria the board will be making an evaluation at the different points of the process, and that staff assists the board in that way by only bringing forward for board consideration elements responsive to those criteria at the various points in the process, so that the board isn't invited to consider things that are really not properly within the scope of board review, that if it's a jurisdictional issue, we don't even raise it to the board, so that it doesn't invite the board to do the work that's really properly within the jurisdiction scope.
So you're not proposing to change any of the language, the current language that we've got. That's my understanding.
Well, this is a board resolution.
Right, right. I understand what's in the resolution, but
right.
you're not proposing to change anything else.
That's correct.
I got it. Thank you.
Very first.
I want to follow up on what Kathy said, because part of what I think we wanted to do too, though, is end up with a relatively short set of documents that are guidance for the board.
Yeah.
Right. And so the question here really is we have the code of ethics, we
yes.
have the bylaws, we have the procedures, and we have these joint development guidelines,
yes.
which have basically guidance for us from ourselves. And the question is, I think, how does this one attach or stand alone from the other three? And is that's a little bit what I thought, Kathy.
That's very similar to the
yeah.
to the question that I asked. And my understanding, at least from what you said, is that it doesn't attach to any of the other three.
Yeah, let me try that again. So it doesn't change anything. It really should be viewed as fleshing out the joint development guidelines.
Right. Yeah.
Does the joint development guideline attach to one of the three other guidance documents that we have, or is it a fourth guidance? If a new board member walked in tomorrow, what would we give them
right.
on these four these areas where we really have spent so much time talking about how we're going to do our work?
So this is what we're going to address in our next conversation about the standalone board policies, and I think Phil's frantically confirming to me now that the joint development policy is a standalone board policy, and what we're going to talk about next is how that would, we're going to move that forward and have that available on our website and so on and so forth. But this is augments or clarifies what already exists in the joint development policy. Now, if the board adopts these criteria by this resolution, in the Real Estate Joint Development Committee, you may want to go back and make sure that we are processing that properly when new developments are coming forward in that committee. But this provides the criteria that was lacking.
I would suggest that we take these criteria, find a way to attach it to the Joint Development Guidelines, and say, when you're doing this policy, this is the criteria you can follow.
Yeah, and also, I to respond to this, you would get the code of ethics and the bylaws, which overall generally relate to our conduct and the do's and the don'ts, and gets a little bit to what you're talking about, avoiding conflicts and things of that nature. So that's incorporated across the board for the members.
So it seemed to me, in terms of the ethics issue, we've now stated the basis on which the board should make decisions
yeah.
about
yes.
real estate matters. If someone on the board suggested we make a decision based on some other factor, you're outside. We're out of our lane. We're really outside of our proper duties.
Very good. Good point.
If I could just clarify that last. The ethics guidelines deal with board members' financial conflicts, and this is a completely different basis of decision. So it seems like it doesn't connect to that at all. If I'm understanding, it's part of the joint development guidelines, and it's laying in front of the board specific things that the board should consider at specific points. And it's not really part of the ethics guidelines unless you're going to propose new language, which you said you're not. The ethics guidelines are based on financial conflicts of interest.
No, but they also. Yeah.
Right, but it's not an ethics issue.
Well, ethics in the sense of your ethics cut across everything that we do as a board member, and so it's in that sense it's certainly impacted by it.
Mr. Chairman, would it better be understood in that we looked at the Code of Ethics and we have revised the Code of Ethics, but relative to the joint development piece, our Code of Ethics now stands clearer by having the joint development piece saying where do we insert ourselves as a board in joint development and where we do not. The Code of Ethics spells out where we should not. This spells out where we should. It's clear what the board's role is here in this as a joint development piece. So it could be financial interests, it could be relationships, it could be contributions, it could be those things that are in the Code of Ethics that stand outside of this that could have conflict in joint development. That's how I'm putting them together.
No, good point. Is that okay?
I think we're talking about two different things here. But as long as the understanding is that what's in the Code of Ethics stands as the Code of Ethics, and that this actually affects joint development guidelines and affects the process by which the board's going to make these kinds of decisions, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, just keep in mind that everything we do is impacted by the Code of Ethics. Be it joint development, be it finance, whatever, that cuts across everything. So, and that's incorporated into everything we do.
Correct. I guess what I'm trying to clarify is that we're not adding another criteria in the Code of Ethics other than financial conflicts of interest.
No, we're not.
Well, not by this action.
No, not by this action. No,
but I think we are seeking to articulate and clarify the expected behavior when we're considering these kinds of matters.
Yes.
I just pulled up the bylaws, and you know, we had this same conversation about the travel policy. Where do we put it? How do we connect it? We connected it with an article in the bylaws that just said we're going to maintain a policy, and that you know, by incorporating here, it's clear that we're all bound by it. Yeah. So when we come back in January to do our update, we may want to, because this is such an important one, this joint development thing, maybe we want to think about whether we incorporate it by reference into the bylaws, and we could have a little bit of language around, you know, this, because I like how people have said, you know, this really defines our area of influence, and we hold ourselves responsible for staying in our lane, for lack of a better set of words.
Great.
Okay.
We'll do that.
That's fine. Okay, anything else on this? Madam Vice Chair.
I'm just trying to get some clarification whether it's appropriate to move an amendment to the policy now, or would that be the jurisdiction of the Real Estate Committee? Maryland has a minor amendment that we think is important. It really relates to the standard around executing term sheets. It's my understanding Mr. Walls has been apprised of it, and simply is to reinforce our commitment around momentum and our commitment for being the principal provider and seeking to collaborate and integrate. So there's a reference to integrating Ramada's transit facilities, and we would recommend that substituted with Regions.
Okay, well, why don't we get a motion on the proposed resolution, and then you raise that as an amendment. I think we ought to put it in this document.
Okay, so it is appropriate for that amendment to happen here.
Yeah, thanks. So is there a motion to adopt the resolution as presented?
I'm moving forward, Mr. Chairman.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any amendments?
Oh, all right, I'll wait for the next motion.
That would be you, Arvis.
move an amendment where we substitute Ramada for the region's transit facilities in an effort to advance our commitment to connecting communities and being the collaborative entity within the region.
That's in attachment A.
In the resolution?
Yeah. No, in the attachment to the resolution.
Okay.
Right here. So instead of integrating WMATA's transit facilities, it would be integrate regional. I think that's a very good amendment. In fact, the general manager and I changed some emails on that, and as he pointed out, that is consistent with the board's goal of making WMATA the sort of the lead go-to agency with respect to regional transportation and transit. So that clearly is something that I think is very appropriate. So I would
So Rich, I get credit for supporting something you want, right?
Collaboration. That's a new theme here. Okay, now we have an amended resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Yes. What was that?
One of you must not have synced your books.
Did you not? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How'd they figure it out?
You have to resync. In fact, I had to resync when I got here. All right. As the chair, I have a rule that the attachment that's in my diligent is the one that's prevailing, all right?
But you can't forward it to anybody. Okay.
Yes. I think it should go to the full board to adopt, because this is going to have applicability across the board. But then we'll also send it to the Joint Development Committee for their or for the Real Estate Committee for their consideration.
Do you need to bless it first before it goes to the board?
I don't think, Madam General Counsel, you think we should have them bless it before we bring it to the full board? Would that sort of close the loop?
Mort and I are both on it.
Well, I think it's a governance matter, and so I think we were just going to rescope the appropriate role and responsibility for the board, which could go forward to the board, and then it could be referred to the committee for an information item.
I was just going to say, though, are three of us sitting here from the real estate committee? Everybody's here but the chairman of the real estate committee.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we didn't give notice that we were going to have, because you want to see a vote from them?
No, I was just going to say you've got three of the four people here. Even if we can't vote on it in this committee, you have three of the four of us.
So we can report it to the full board with the blessing of at least three of the four members of the committee. Okay? All right. Thank you very much, Stan. Appreciate it. Next item is update on the resolutions project.
What?
Did you vote?
Yes, we voted, because I asked if there were any abstentions. That was the last thing I said.
Yep,
sure. We voted.
I'm in charge here. I said we voted.
Boy, you're getting really feisty.
No, I did call for the chair. If you want, we will call for it one more time. All those in favor of the resolution as amended by Artis, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, we're good. Okay? All right. Okay, back to you for resolutions review project update.
So Phil was going to provide an update on the phase two of our resolution project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. We could go straight to purpose. Perfect. So phase two, first of all, to put a little context on here, we started out in phase one by creating, with the goal of making resolutions more accessible and organized, we launched the resolution database, which is a searchable online database. There's a small screenshot here of what the welcoming page looks like. That's been in effect since mid-2013. However, the governance committee said that the as a further step, we need to provide the same sort of accessibility and organization for board policies, as well as an opportunity to, once they're collected, to review them and organize them as needed. So in phase two, the committee has been thinking of this as two different types of ways we encounter policies and resolutions. First of all, you have standalone policies. These are separate policy documents adopted and amended by a board resolution and often maintained by subsequent resolutions. Those are, we know, policies that we've known to love and are familiar with, and we can simply collect those and post them on our website. What is more an involved process are the policy statements, or what we're referring to as policy statements. These are expressions of policy embedded within resolutions that don't involve a separate document. As just one example of that, in resolution 2011-31, the board expressed a policy as to commercial connections stations. That's not a separate policy. That's just a couple of resolved paragraphs. In order to properly handle the policy statements, the committee has asked us to at least explore engaging a contractor to identify and organize the policy statements for review. So for phase one, we've identified on this slide and the next slide approximately 18, I believe it is, standalone policies from board travel to whistleblower rights and responsibilities. And these we can go ahead and post on our website, so they're all easily accessible in one place. Now, they probably are, many of them already are in one place or another on our website, but rather than making people hunt for them, just provide them all in one place as policies adopted by the board. So the next step, and here we have just historically, I thought you might be interested, this is the first resolution adopted by the board, appropriately enough expressing appreciation for the creation of Metro, November 7th, 1966. In order to go about this process, we'll need to identify a funding source. We have made a preliminary estimate of approximately $200,000 for this effort. We could then solicit a contractor to identify and organize the embedded policy statements. And when I say organize, I'm talking about organizing them into statements that are similar and within given topics so that staff can review them and then bring them, I think the concept is, to the appropriate committee, saying that of these policy statements, some have passed their prime. They're not really that relevant anymore. The rest are relevant. However, they need to be updated to be more accurate or consistent with other statements, and then create, restatement, perhaps, of those that we want going forward, so we can similarly keep those all in one place and easily accessible.
Okay. Any comments, any reactions, thoughts? Tom.
I just don't see what it means to do it about knowledge of policy. I agree. You do? Yes. All right.
Yeah, well, the whole point is that we've got a lot of stuff hanging around out here, and the point is to bring some order and some semblance.
One of the things that
Mr. Chairman, go ahead, I'll stop.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm
one of the things that struck me, to direct answer to Tom's point, is that we needed a codification. Every governing body
as a process of reviewing and recodifying. This ultimately, I think, will lead to the board adopting by resolution a series of updated, revised
I couldn't help it.
That makes it much easier for everybody, including internal staff and external stakeholders and everybody, to find coherent professional language about each of these policy areas where the board has spoken over the last, since 1966. And I think it's one of the contributions that this board could make to rationalizing its work going forward. So I endorse it.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to go all the way back to the creation.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just in recent times.
Oh, no.
I thought we were just doing this in, like, the last three or
four
years.
No, we have to. We want to codify everything that's been done.
All right. Okay.
Can we reconsider the resolution passing people for creating
if we ever get the money together for Metro 2025, we have to do a similar resolution.
That's true. Yeah. Terrific. Okay. No, I think that, I think we would give you direction to go ahead and look at what it would take to bring somebody on and get that started and take us to the next steps. So feel free so to do. Okay? All right. So the last, anything else, Madam General Counsel, on that issue?
We will need to clarify. We in council's office do not have budget to cover that amount. So I'll pass this along to the general manager. But just so you note it, just note that funding will have to be made available for us to move forward with this project.
Okay. Well, in that, why don't you work with the general manager and his distinguished chief of staff? Is she gone? Okay.
Money we asked for.
Yes. All right. Well, if you would connect with him just to figure out how we're going to pay for this, and with the understanding that we all think it's a very good idea and we'd like to move forward on it as much. And I think he's in concurrence with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Could we also ask, now that we have identified it, the standalone policies, in addition to putting them on the website, could we put them into diligence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Okay. Anything else on that issue? Okay, the last item is an update on our work on the Code of Ethics. We have had subsequent discussions since the last meeting, which I think have been very, very positive. I think getting people in the same room is very helpful. And I'm looking at
it yet.
We're supposed to be getting, no, it's not. There's nothing in here. I think we're getting something tomorrow that will be the next, yes. We're getting something tomorrow that will be the next step so we can hopefully wrap this thing up and come back to this committee with a proposal as far as proposed changes, specifically as it relates to certain specific matters, which I won't go into at this point. Madam General Counsel, do you want to add anything else to that?
Let me get to that next.
Oh, is that one? Oh, okay. Yes. Also, just to give you an FYI, we may not have the meeting on July 24th simply because of a scheduling conflict, and we may move it to another date, but we'll confirm that obviously before we get back. Anything else anybody has to bring before the committee at this point? If not, we stand adjourned. It's already been a full day, so go have lunch or whatever you're going to do.